two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It is a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. And it is a beautiful day as the sun rises over downtown Salt Lake City. It's going to be a bit nippy, though, so you're headed outdoors, make sure you grab your jacket. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls and questions at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Is it beautiful in Utah County as well?
It is. The skies are clear, and any minute I'm expecting the sun to peek up over the mountain.
I love this weather. I'm glad that it's staying dry just for another weekend so that I can get a little extra work done in my yard. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I've been taking advantage of it.
It's Saturday morning.
Yes, it is. I sound like I've been on an all-night bender, and I don't do such things, but
we'll wake up here soon.
Yeah. I've been outside most of the week recording videos for master gardener classes and things on fruit trees, and I would rather film when it's in the 50s than when it's in the 30s.
Oh, so, no doubt about it, with the sun out too.
Yes.
Warms things up just a bit. Well, this morning, last week at this time, our plant of the week was the Norfolk Island Pine, and I've just seen a ton of those in grocery stores right now. People want to buy those for their Christmas trees. But when we were talking about that, you said we should also talk about the monkey pine this week. So tell us about the monkey pine this morning.
Well, it's called a lot of different things. Sometimes it's called Chilean pine, monkey pine. Mm-hmm. You'll commonly see it sold as monkey puzzle tree in the garden centers. And it's related to the Norfolk Island pine, but the foliage, the needles, I guess is what we should call them, the leaves, I guess, are more pointy. And it's reported, and I don't know how much this is true, that somebody saw it in the 1800s and said that the tree would be a puzzle for a monkey to climb is where it gets its name.
It's an interesting looking tree.
It is, and it's actually very usable as a houseplant, and it's just less available. I think people are cautious of it because of the more pointed needles on it. But if you want something interesting, and especially if you don't have small kids that are going to knock it over or somehow paw at it, then it's one that is a very interesting specimen that hardly anybody else would have.
Mm-hmm. Our fur babies tend to paw at things, that's for sure.
Yes, they do.
So the branches on this, rather than tilting downward, they tilt upward.
They do. So it has a very interesting growth habit, and this is native to areas in Argentina and Chile that don't get a lot of snow. And so the branches reaching like that do because they don't have to deal with snow load very often. And so here in the United States, if you were to grow this outdoors, the best places for it would be coastal California, north of San Francisco and north up into Portland and Seattle is where it would be at its best due to the climate being very close to what it would be native to in South America. But as a specimen tree, if you are in areas that you could grow this, it would make a really interesting specimen.
Okay, so we've been talking about it as a house plant, as kind of like a Christmas tree plant, but they're not going to be able to plant it outdoors here in Utah.
Not really. There's one up in Logan on campus that's planted right near a heat exchange unit outside of a building, and so it never freezes, but it's just sat there for years and years, and it hasn't really grown more than a foot, I think, since it was planted. And so in situations like that, you might get away with it, but in for all practicality, no, we're not going to be planting this one here. And it's, if you read, it says Zone 7, and Salt Lake City and areas of Twilla, and especially, you know, the bench areas around the avenues are Zone 7. But the problem with that is that it just stays too cold in the winter. And so we don't reach that minimum temperature. But a Zone 7 where this is native, it never really gets below the 20s. And during the day, it's in the, you know, as long as it's not rainy, it'll be in the mid 40s to low 50s.
It's always fun to take a look at these unique trees, though. How can we make sure that we keep it at its best, even indoors?
It needs bright light. It doesn't necessarily need direct sunlight, but somewhere in a bright room. And it actually, because it's more native to a cooler Mediterranean or a warm maritime climate, where it gets a lot of humidity and rainfall and things, it's actually best grown in cooler rooms in the winter, and it will be perfectly happy, like its cousin, the Norfolk Island pine, in a room that's 55 at night and in the mid to high 60s during the day. Now, it can be grown in warmer temperatures, but those are the, you know, the temperatures that it would prefer. And then during the summer, most any room in the home, as long as it doesn't get, you know, super hot, would be fine. But it's, I think the critical thing is that bright light.
All right. And what about water?
Average amount of water. It will need to be watered in the winter, probably in a larger pot, especially every 7 to 10 days, just because we don't get as much water evaporation in the winter. And then during the summer, I would say about every 5 to 7 days, just depending on its location. Mm-hmm. Now, it should be kept away from heat vents like most of our other houseplants, heat registers and cold drafty. You know, if it's getting bursts of 15 degree air several times a day, that's not great for it.
All right. And if folks would like to see more on this unique tree, you can check out the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Caitlin has now put an article up for you to read more about it. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. And, Ton, I've noticed that people are getting very excited about Christmas early this year. They're not waiting till after Thanksgiving to put up their lights or even turn on their lights. And if you were looking at our studio right now, it is covered with Christmas decorations. Camille wanted to make sure that we weren't forgotten here in studio. There are so few of us here at the station that she has it fully decorated at this point in time.
That's good of her to do.
I know. Now, I mention that because people are excited about things like fresh evergreen wreaths as well. And we did have one of our listeners this morning wondering, you know, Will, what happens to those when you put them outdoors? Is it too early to put them outdoors on your door right now? Or is it too warm even to put them outdoors, and how they're going to fare between now and Christmas?
With us dropping into the 40s consistently, I think that they will be okay. What they may consider doing is getting some leaf shine or an anti-desiccant. I'm trying to remember some of the brands out there, but you can pick up a spray that you can put on those that will help keep the water from evaporating out of the needles.
Oh.
And so if you want it to last the 45 days or so until Christmas, 40 days, and it is going to be a little warmer or in a really bright location, you could try an anti-desiccant or leaf shine to help keep the needles nice and green. Now, if you're doing leaf shine, you need to spray it somewhere that it won't be on your door or something. I don't want that to somehow affect the paint. Also, the leaf shine initially can be a little bit liquidy, or not really liquidy, but you don't want to get it on yourself. And so you need to be a little careful with that, but it does make it look pretty, and it will prevent some leaf evaporation or water evaporation from the leaves.
Okay. Interesting. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton taking your questions this morning. You can text us at 57500. You can also call us with your questions or your comments at 801-575-8255. Ton, with it being a nice sunny day today, there are still, you know, some things we can do out in our yards. And what do you suggest people do on a day like today?
Well, if you haven't cleaned up leaves yet, those need to be cleaned up. That's usually a multi-day project just because they keep falling, and especially with the weather we had. I didn't really schedule it for a topic today, but I put a short video up on snow mold control, which is a disease we see in early spring.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is a fungus grows under the leaves and under the snow, and it kind of wreaks havoc on our grass, because it thrives at temperatures just above freezing. And so anywhere you have leaf litter, shadier areas, or if we just get a lot of snow, we usually the next spring have a pretty bad snow mold year. And so I put up a brief video on making sure to clean up leaves and cut the grass short so that it will help prevent that. And even though I did this in late October, it's been warm enough that my grass has actually grown.
I know. My husband was noticing that, too. Since he cut it last week, it's grown. He's like, I put the mower away.
Yeah, and I had mine. I winterized it. And so I'm going to have to pull mine out and put just a half tank of gas in there and see if I can get it mowed down again because of that growth. It should, I think after this week, it should slow down. If you have trees and shrubs with dead or diseased branches in them, you can prune those out. It's a good time to do that. Raspberries can be cleaned up. And there's just a number of other things. Cleaning up your gardening tools, the shovels and, you know, your gardening hose and things like that could be sharpened and then cleaned up, wire brushed off, and then you can put a light oil coating on them to protect them over the winter.
I've noticed that most of the leaves are down from the oaks and the maples, but some like my Japanese maple are still hanging on to their leaves. Is it best to brush those off or just leave them till they fall? I'm worried about the snow when it does.
That's hard to know because sometimes if they're too attached, you may damage the bark. But if they come off fairly easily and it's doable, you can go ahead and brush those off if the tree is small enough.
Okay, it's a lace leaf, so I don't know. I'll just see how they come off. But yeah, usually when it snows, then it kind of drags the tree down. So I'm always worried that it's going to break that, you know, delicate tree. One of our listeners wants to know, they say they have a weeping flowering cherry and it has dead branches where no leaves grow. The rest of the branches seem to be okay. It's been in their yard for quite some time.
I saw that and I was wondering if they wanted to know what to do about it. I'm assuming so.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation would be to just prune the dead out. It's doing the tree no good.
And actually taking energy away, right?
Yeah, it's not really taking energy away, but it is, well, it can be in a way because it is acting as a potential source for insect pests and diseases that would get into the tree. So you still want to use proper pruning cuts, but because it's dead, it can come out now.
Okay. Also, they have grow boxes. They're 4x8 for tomatoes, and they amend the soil every year, and they fertilize regularly. But the tomatoes are always small, and they're wondering if there's something else that they can do.
They may need to swap the soil out completely. There's a few things to look at. Before swapping the soil out, I would actually look at a soil test to make sure that it's not too salty for some reason. But if the tomatoes did well for a while and then they don't do well, a lot of times those organic-based potting soils that we're using in raised bed mixes can get a buildup of diseases, and you pretty much need to tear it out every 3 or 4 years and put new raised bed mix in. Now, if you have raised beds, and let's say you've used something like a mix of sand and compost, and then you know, applied some triple 16 to boost your nutrients up a bit, you don't need to usually tear the sand out unless you grow tomatoes in there every year, and then you may need to. But tomatoes are extremely susceptible to root diseases, and even the resistant ones over a number of years of being grown in the same spot will succumb to them.
It seemed like this year most of the complaints we got about tomatoes weren't about that weird fungus, but were about the fact that they were smaller than usual.
Yeah, and the heat did that. We had a lot of people, I saw more cracking in tomatoes this year than I ever have, and that was due to the heat, and then just generally smaller tomatoes. There was a period of time that we were in the high 90s and low 100s for several weeks, and the tomatoes couldn't set fruit, and what fruit was set was also diminished in size. And so it's always an interesting year for tomatoes.
Yeah, I didn't have a huge crop. I mean, I had several plants, but I would say my crop was not as big as I would have liked it to be. Not just the size of the tomatoes, but just the number of tomatoes that I got.
Yeah, and mine were in the same way. I had several plants, a few of them succumbed to some mystery disease I couldn't even identify.
Hmm.
I emailed some things up to
you
Sheridan.
You couldn't identify it?
It was one, and we kind of came to the conclusion it was probably physiological due to heat and other things, but I had all these strange bullseyes on the tomatoes that nobody could really, you know, I went through thorough, like exhaustive, you know, tomato disease guides and things, but I think it was probably physiological. But I lost probably 70% of my production due to that and the heat. But from about late August on through October, I had enough tomatoes to make fresh salsa every Sunday.
Okay, that was plenty. I was going to say, you missed out on a lot of BLTs, but I don't know. I think
we had just enough to eat, and I sent a few up to my in-laws. My mom-in-law, fortunately, had a few extra that she canned some tomatoes for us. I always appreciate that. And so we still, you know, put away 12 or 24 quarts for cooking and things, but we had enough for salsa, and that was what was important.
That was important. And I'm going to say I use the rest of my tomatoes. Usually I have enough tomatoes to last me through, you know, the green tomatoes that ripen up through the end of the year, but mine are gone now. I use the end of them.
I saw your post.
Made some cowboy caviar with corn and avocados. It was delicious, but yeah, tomatoes are all gone. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. You can join the conversation, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.